This morning we're going to be doing a message called Selah. What a word. It's a mystery word. It's been debated through the millennium, three of them, for the last 3,000 years or so, of what this word means. There's many interpretations. There are actually 74 times that the word Selah is in the scriptures. I've asked John if he won't give us a musical interpretation for them. But more importantly, I think it's significant and critical that we understand what is happening in the Bible, in the scriptures, when Selah is used. The prophet Habakkuk used it three times. Asaph used it. The sons of Korah used it, but certainly one of the main people in the scriptures, the main writings, was done by King David. He did it again and again. Now, there are basically three overall meanings that people have come up with, Bible scholars, rabbis, of what this word means. Multiple interpretations, but I think it does boil down to three of them. The first one, when you see the word Selah in the scripture, it means to meditate or muse or ponder. So it calls us to a point of pause of what we just finished hearing, or in some cases, what we're about to hear. Because sometimes Selah comes in the scripture before a verse or two, and some usually it comes afterwards. The second major interpretation, which I think is also quite valid, is that there was a musical interlude. So it wasn't just the fact that you were meant to muse or meditate on that scripture, but there was music that was meant to cause your soul to rise, your mind to waft towards what the scripture was saying. The third major interpretation that you don't hear as much about is this one, and that is response. The Lord means for us not just to hear a scripture or not just to read the Bible, right? But to give us some kind of response that we're saying, okay, I understand what this means. This means this for me. I need to be doing this or thinking that. So it's a response. So as we go through this, when you hear the word Selah, it's a Hebrew word, obviously, I think the boils down to meditate, musical interlude, and response. Now, what we're going to do is all three of them at once when we hear the word Selah. I'd like to go through 12 different Selahs in the Bible. Again, I already said there are 74 of them. I picked up 12, which I thought would be good. The first one is, of course, taken from King David. King David wrote the third Psalm. Now, I put the A up there because it's the first line of the verse. If it's a B, then it's the second line. C is the third line of a verse. It's just a way to distinguish which portion of a verse we're really concentrating on. So the first one is this one. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. This is from Psalm 3, verse 3a. Selah, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. Boy, to rest in the Lord's protection. You ever been through something? Oh, I have. If you've been through something, then this Selah is certainly for you. To rest in his protection, in his defense. I actually believe in the spiritual warfare and the heavenlies. Angels of darkness versus angels of light. But there is a great war covering angels, I believe, over his own. You don't see them. You can't hear them breathing. You know, they're unseen world, but they're there. And God means for us to understand that there are definite times in your life and in my life where those angels are protecting us. Have you ever sensed it? You can't see them, but you sense. I just know God is protecting me. I can feel it. I don't see it. I can't hear it, but I know he's there. And that is accurate. Without the protection, you're destroyed. You cannot stand against the forces of evil by yourself. You need the Lord. And you need his defense, and you need his protection very badly. Now, in the scriptures, there are a few times where the great archangel, Michael, the chief of all the angels, the archangel Michael, came to protect and cover. I want to mention three of them briefly and then we'll move on. He certainly was there for the patriarchs in different ways, but for Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Our Jewish friends, of course, consider Joseph one of the patriarchs, not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Joseph as well, and well deserved. The second is he did protect his prophets. Now, we don't see in scripture where it was specifically for all the prophets, although I do believe he was there for them, but he was certainly there specifically for the prophet Enoch, Noah, and Daniel. And then I would have to go towards the end of our Bibles, where it's very obvious that the apostle John encountered the great archangel Michael and his protection. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to read this scripture again, and then John's going to give us a little short 10-15 second, but a little Selah, and let God not just muse with you on his word, but let him direct you as to what you're supposed to do related to this scripture, where you need protection, where you are being called to come under his covering, okay? So here we go. Psalm 3:3, Selah, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. Yes. That shield all around us. Secondly, let's do this one. This is also from the same chapter, but down a verse later, again, of course, from David, as it's pronounced in the Hebrew, or David as we know him. King David said in Psalm 3:4, he said, he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. You know, the divine answers of God are only going to come from the mountain of God. They're not going to come from astrology. They're not going to come from political leaders. They're not going to come from luck. They're not going to come by chance. Money, sex, promotion, fortune, or diviners. The answers from God are going to come from his holy mountain. So let's look here at this Selah again in Psalm 3:4. Here we go. He answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. What John is doing is the power of the mountain he is bringing forth in that little musical interlude, taking us up towards the mountain of God. Let's look at the third one. And again, there's 12 we'll go through this morning. again David, but this is all the way to the 9th chapter of the Psalms. In Psalm 9, verse 20, it says, "Let the nations know that they are but men, Selah." Look, you understand, don't you, that you are dust, ultimately. You understand this body doesn't go for another 450 years, right? You get this. We're temporary and we're mortal. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 19 says, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now, that is not meant to be morbid. That's meant for us to understand the eternal nature of our spirits and our souls and the temporal nature of these bodies. Even during the rapture, the translation of the saints, your mortal body will not remain. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep," in other words, die, "but we shall all be changed." So as believers, we do believe the Lord is coming back for his church, and we will be changed. In other words, we'll have a body that lives forever, that's eternal, that's not mortal. All right, let's look at the psalm again. As David said, "Let the nations know that they are but men, Selah." Number 4. Here we go. This is all the way to Psalm 24, verse 10. "Who is this King of glory?" And this again is by David. "The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah." You know, when Rome had a great victory, there was a custom that the Romans did that the conquering lead general would come in a triumphant entry into Rome, and he would lead captives that he had conquered and all the spoils of war, and he would ride on a chariot. But what many people may not be aware is something was going into his ears the whole ride through all the cheers and all the magnitude of glory that Rome was rolling out for their victorious general. Because right on the chariot behind the general was a meek and lowly slave saying, "Menos Marai." Menos Marai. Menos Marai. And that was the Latin, and it means, "Remember, you must die." So in the middle of all this glory, he was hearing that voice calling his memory that he was just mortal. The slave would go on to say, "Sic transis gloria mundi." And that means, "Thus passes the glory of the world." So everything is temporal, we see. It's temporary. It's not eternal. God is eternal. He is the glorious one. Only the Godhead is glorious. I know at my father and mother's funeral, we went through the graveyard to bury them. And I remember there was one monument that just stood out with me of the thousands of monuments that were in that graveyard. And it just said these words, only 4 words. "Only God is great." Only God is great. Say it with me. Only God is great. Absolutely. So let's listen to the scripture again from King David. And it says in Psalm 24, verse 10, Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Amen. Number 5. This is taken from Psalm 46. Actually, 2 verses here. And this is a really an interesting one. It wasn't written by King David, as so many of these were, but this was written by the sons of Korah. Now, if you've read the Bible, you know what happened with Korah. Korah came against Moses, and the Lord judged him violently and his whole household. And the earth opened up with a great earthquake and swallowed up Korah. However, evidently, some of his heritage, some of his genealogy survived, and obviously survived in great fear, because here you have the sons of Korah. In other words, we don't know how many generations, but many generations between Moses and the writing of this psalm. The sons of Korah wrote these words, and you'll understand the magnitude of these words is now that you have the little bit of background of what the patriarch of their family had endured and been wrathed. It says in Psalm 46, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. And why did they not fear? Because they were trusting in the Lord, unlike the original Korah. But they were trusting in God, and that's what took away their fear. Now, you've seen the news. I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, how can you even keep up with all the stuff that's going on? It's wild. I mean, you know, but this Selah, this scripture is so prevalent and needed for us right now. So as all this stuff is happening, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake and its swelling pride, Selah. Peace to your heart. We will not fear. Say it with me. We will not fear. 6th one I'd like to look at. This will bring us halfway through here. Again, back to David in Psalm 54. In Psalm 54, verse 3 and 4, it says, violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. If you've got somebody at work or at school or even a family member, you know, that's just rough and difficult and hard to deal with, this scripture is for you. The Lord does redeem, and he's a redeemer. And so he will redeem that situation and perhaps even that person. But he also vindicates, and he also does punish. Boy, the punishment of God is a frightening punishment because it comes slowly. And when it comes, you don't get out. God will watch over his own, and he ultimately redeems the believer. Violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them. Selah, behold, God is my helper. Now this morning we have one piano player, but undoubtedly when David did these, King David, or Asaph, or the sons of Korah, they would have huge orchestration behind these psalms when a selah came. But let's look at number 7. Again, back to David. In Psalm 57, verse 3, it says, Selah, God will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. His loving kindness and His truth. You cannot divide God and His love from God and His truth. The love God that so much of the culture loves to talk about, that He just loves, 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 loves. God is love, love is God. Boy, that is not the whole story. That's dividing God. Now, Islam basically does the opposite. It divides it into only a harsh sword. And hence you get the suicide bombers, especially from some of the sects. Dialectical materialism, of which communism is based on, Marxism, Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, said evolution of the natural world and thus emergence of new qualities of being human. Boy, are we seeing this with AI, right? Robots, the merger of the two. I mean, we are seeing an enhanced humanoid system coming forth. I was just talking to a couple of nurses this week. They said it won't be long before we won't be here. They're already working on robotics taking our place. So this is coming fast, maybe faster than we realize. You know, there's a triuneness to God. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. Absolutely. But it also says in 1 John 1:5, God is light. And John 1:4 says, in Him was life. So He is love, He's light, and He's life. But that's inseparable. He's all of that. So let's look again at this psalm, and particularly this selah. King David wrote in Psalm 57, Selah. God will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. Number 8. Number 8 was also written by King David from Psalm 60, verse 4, and I'll read it for us. Thou hast given a banner to those who fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. You know, God has given a banner to the world. It's you. He's given you as His banner. I'm talking to believers. He's made you His statement. Now, He can choose to speak from heaven. He can choose to have the stones speak. And they certainly would have cried out if the people weren't crying out at the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. But it's not to be hidden. He's given us a banner and made us a banner to be displayed. So, do you know the Lord? Several of you are willing to say yes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you know the Lord? Okay. Then don't be shy about letting that banner be seen by the culture. Let's look at number 9. Psalm 62, verse 8. Again, King David. It says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O peoples. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You know, there's not any sense in hiding your feelings from the Lord, is there? I mean, he knows them anyway. You might as well let him know that you know that he knows. And here it's actually saying to pour your heart out before him. In other words, he wants you to fellowship with him and communicate with him and pour your heart out to him. Let God know your issues, your problems, your heartaches, your pain, your distress. It says here, at all times. In other words, not just when it's convenient, not just when you're in church, not just when you're with a few believers, but at all times. So when you're alone, when you're lonely, when you're in despair, when you're happy, that you would let the Lord participate in your heart. He knows your heart anyway. Pour out your heart to him. Have fellowship with him. Be close to him. John, why don't you play a Selah for us on 9? Beautiful. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Last one that David wrote, the 10th one, Psalm 61. He wrote numbers of them, but I wanted to go through this one. This is a beautiful one. Psalm 61, verse 3. In Psalm 61, David goes on and says, for thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wings. Selah. King David wrote four things here. A refuge, in other words, protection. Tower of strength, in other words, power. Thy tent forever, in other words, the house of the Lord, a home, and the shelter of thy wings, a covering. I'll read it again, and then we'll hear a Selah. For thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wings. Selah. Shelter of his wings. Let's go to 11. This is from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk. It's not a long book in the Bible, but 3 times in Habakkuk does the prophet use the word Selah. In Habakkuk 3:3 and also into 4, he writes these beautiful words. Selah. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. Oh, wow, the majesty and wonder of God. Check out your fingerprint. Just for a moment, just look at your finger, just the tip. See all those little lines, those fingerprints? Everyone different. even the 10 fingers of your hands, different. The blades of grass, I mean, I could go on and on. The auroras of the heavens. My wife and I stopped the car up in Canada one night and just stood outside in awe as the auroras were all over the heavens. Splendor coming right down to the earth around us. All the blues and greens and reds and yellows. The auroras. And we were thinking, how beautiful is the works of God. My wife actually wrote a song that night concerning what she saw with the auroras. You looked up and saw the sunrise this week, didn't you? We had the strawberry moon this week. Boy, I mean, it was a huge moon through the horizon. The rays of the sun breaking through the clouds throughout the skies. It causes us to meditate and ponder on the beauty of the Lord. Selah. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. Yes, last one is this one. Again from the prophet Habakkuk. In Habakkuk 3, verse 13, it says, Thou didst go forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou didst strike the head of the house of evil. Selah. Isn't it interesting in this particular scripture, in this Selah, the Lord is talking about doing two things simultaneously. He's talking about salvation for his anointed, and he's talking about striking the head of evil. Sin, Satan, death, all stricken, but salvation for his anointed. I'll read it again. Thou dost go forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou dost strike the head of the house of evil. Selah. Boy, the Lord does both, doesn't he? He'll save us, and he'll deal with evil at the same time. Let me conclude by going over what we just finished learning. We went through 12 of them, and again, there are 74 in the Bible. First one is, he is our shield. It means our defense. We talked about the great war angels protecting us. Secondly, we talked about the divine answer comes from where? The mountain of God. Third, we learn from that Selah, the third one, that we are but men. We're mortal. Fourth one, that only the Godhead is glorious. Sic, transit, gloria, mundi. All passes but God and his own. Number five, we will not fear. Say it with me. We will not fear. Absolutely. Number six, the Lord sees and he vindicates. Number seven, we learn that we could not divide and are not meant to ever divide from his love and his truth. He's both love and truth. Eight, we talked about that we are a banner. the Lord's banner, to be displayed. 9, at all times, pour out your heart to Him, to the Lord. God, 10, is a refuge, a tower of strength, our tent, forever the shelter of His wings. We learned about all 4 of those things in the 10th one. A refuge, tower of strength, our tent, and the shelter of His wings. 11, His splendor covers the heavens. All the heavens are covered with the splendor of God. They are not the splendor of God, but His glory covers all things. And 12th, finally, He is our salvation, and He strikes the head of evil. God bless you. It's been good to be together in the house of God.